Amen. Well, as Father David said before, I did grow up at Church Messiah. After my high school year, I started coming to Messiah and started working with the youth, with Kevin, Brooke, Amanda, David, and Sabelle, all the crew, under the direction of Father Ed Scheel at the time. And had some really good experiences here down at Messiah. And since leaving Messiah, I guess I have three daughters now. I have please pray for me. I may have to come back to my southern roots and pick up a couple of shotguns at some point once they get of age. But I am married to my wife Katie, and we live on Long Island, New York, and I work at the cathedral there under Bishop Craig Bates, the patriarch, and I oversee all the children's ministries there. So I'm still continuing to do the work that God began in me when I was still a youth in youth group, and God really laid upon my heart that my call in life was to work with young adults, and so it's good to see God continuing to allow me to move in that gifting. And so I'm really happy to be here today and to be able to speak to you guys. I said you guys, and I didn't say y'all, so I'm sorry. So there, that was a slip, y'all. It did take a bit of adjusting when I moved to New York, and everyone, you know, kind of poked fun at me. Like, what are you talking about? Like, y'all, what is that? That's not English. So, I guess the longer I would be here, the more my southern roots would come out. But I am under a little pressure today, speaking here. It's not only because my family's here, and that's always, you know, gets your nerves going a little bit, but, you know, I got Father Scott Looker, the theologian, you know. I've kind of, you know, or I guess, is it Father Scott the lesser or the younger? Is that what they say?
Greater.
The greater. Okay. So,
you can just go with the great.
The great? Okay. I like it. I like keeping it short. I like it. That's good. So I'm expecting for a like 5-page document from the great on kind of like a critique of my sermon or something like that, you know? And then, of course, my roots being here also, I have Father Pardee was my physics teacher in high school. And so that was, you know, that's... It's a little nervous, you know, a little nerve-wracking. And then just before the service, I spoke with Father David, and, you know, he was letting me know about time constraints and stuff like that, and said, you know, you have about 25 minutes or so to speak, and I said, okay, that shouldn't be too much of a problem. You know, we at Intercessor, we do, you know, a 10-minute sermon every now and then at some services. And he just looked at me and said, I can't even say my name in 10 minutes. I don't know...
Amen.
And so I think I've incorporated a little bit more in 10 minutes than Father David by saying his name. So so I'm hoping that I'm able to bring the word that God wants in the way that he wants to share it with you. This past week, we do a daily Eucharist at Intercessor. At noon every day, we celebrate the Mass. And we do just a said Mass. There's no music or anything like that. And one of the scripture readings this week really spoke to my heart, and I just want to share that with you and kind of tie it in a little bit to the readings this morning. And the reading was from Proverbs chapter 21, beginning at verse 6. Now, we use a different Bible translation during the noonday Eucharist, so I'm going to read what it says in the New King James Version and then, you know, share with you what really God was speaking to me through the other translation. But in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 6, it says, "Getting treasures by a lying tongue is like the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death." Now, in the New American Bible Revised Edition, which is kind of it's the Roman Catholic lectionary that we use at Intercessor during the noonday Mass, it says, "Whoever makes a fortune by a lying tongue is chasing a bubble over deadly snares." And as I was preparing for that message that day, and all, you know, since I was asked to speak here, you know, I was looking over the scriptures from today, and you know, I was trying to formulate what God wanted me to say to you guys, to y'all. And what happened was, I was having a hard time prepping off of the readings from for today in the lectionary. And so this past week, I was like, okay, God, like, you know, share with me what you want me to say. And when I was speaking at the Noon Eucharist that day, it was kind of like just popped into my head. Like, you know, he gave me some little things that I would like to share with you guys today. Before expanding on that, I just, you know, I do want to just tell you a little bit more about myself. Is I like to grill. You know, I like to cook out, and I like to barbecue. And up north, they actually call grilling anything to do with outdoor cooking. So when I first moved to New York, they were like, hey, you want to come over for a barbecue? And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I haven't had some good smoked pork or some baby back ribs or anything like that in a really long time. And I was very disappointed when I got there and there was hot dogs and hamburgers. I was like, what is this? This isn't barbecue. You know, you could slap some barbecue sauce on it, but it still doesn't make it barbecue. So I am still a traditionalist. When I say I like to grill, I mean like grilling. And if I want to do some barbecue, I'll, you know, fire up the smoker. And this summer, I was really blessed by a guy in our church who accidentally ordered 2 smokers. I don't know how you can do that, but he accidentally ordered 2. There was a miscommunication between him and his wife. And so he was like, Alan, I know you like to grill, and you want to learn how to smoke, you know, and everything. So would you like to have this grill? I was like, oh, of course, you know. So, of course, I, you know, busted it out one day, and I'm sitting there grilling over the summer. And I had my youngest out there, Charlotte, who is now 2. And, you know, we have this big, you know, as you know, some of the parents in here will know about these type of bubble toys, you know. Have this big turtle shell thing that, you know, just holds like a ton of bubbles. And she's obsessed with bubbles like most kids, you know. And she would blow these bubbles and then just start chasing them around the backyard, you know, and just... And she just thought it was the greatest thing in the world, you know, like she would just blow a bubble and then all of a sudden float off, and then she wasn't paying attention to anything else that was on the ground, what was in front of her. She just kept going, you know, she was chasing this bubble, you know. And, you know, at some points, you know, while she was chasing the bubble, she got a little too close to the grill, you know. And so this past week when I was reading that scripture, and I, you know, it was like, and he, it said here in Proverbs, whoever makes a fortune by a lying tongue is chasing a bubble over deadly snares. And it really popped to me, that image of my child running to the grill while chasing a bubble, you know. Everything around her didn't matter because she was going after this bubble, and that was just captivating to her. And God spoke to me and said, like, you know, this scripture is talking about getting rich off a lying tongue, but you can substitute that with anything in life that you create as an idol before God, you know? Here it is that, you know, sometimes we think that we have something that's so important, you know, whether it's making money, you know, and or having the perfect kids, you know, all these things that we tend to idolize as a people, you know? And we chase after these things with such intensity that we don't recognize the deadly snares that are underneath us. And so I was, you know, kind of struggling with this. You know, I was kind of going back and forth with God. Well, like, well, sometimes the bubble looks so pretty, you know, like when the light hits it the right way. And, you know, like sometimes we're chasing that bubble and we think it's God, you know, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a good thing, like being a good husband or a good wife is a good thing to strive to be. You know, but it's not the end all. You know, we're called to live out a godly Christian life and to pursue the things that God has placed before us and not just the things of this world. So even in the colleague from today that Father David read, you know, it says, teach us, help us to not be anxious about the earthly things, you know, but to be kingdom minded, you know, to really chase after the things that you've called us to do, you know. My father was telling me that Bishop Simpson was here last week, and he talked about the joy of salvation, correct? That's what we should be chasing, amen? We should be chasing after that love that we sang about this morning. We should be chasing after the forgiveness that God gives us And James, he talks about if you submit yourselves to God, the devil will flee. So if we're chasing the bubble that God's created us and we're submitted to him, we don't have to worry about the deadly snares because God's going to protect us from that. Amen? And so as I was still going through this, you know, I was going through the Gospel of Mark this morning, and it's a very, it can kind of be depressing if you ask me, you know, because we're not perfect, you know, we all sin, you know. And so when I was reading through the Gospel, I think that was one of the things that I was kind of struggling with. It was like, okay, God, like, you know, this isn't really the most uplifting message that you have here for your people. But as I looked into it a little further, you know, and I started doing the reading and looking at the context of the scripture of everything that was going on, I went back to the church fathers. That was a shout out to the great over there, because I know he likes the church fathers. And I was reading through this commentary, and here we read about this. We read about the, you know, he brings a child into the midst of them and says, whoever causes the little one, you know, the little one, it'd be greater for him to have a millstone hung around his neck. Now, that's not a good image to have, you know, in your head. But what he was saying when I was reading the church commentary is that the little ones, that you know, as he was referring to the children, didn't necessarily mean just like the little kids. It wasn't just the children. It was those who were immature of faith, those who are new believers, those who are seeking, you know. And so it is important for us to watch our step and what we do, okay? And here also we read about, you know, when we sin, you know, what we should do rather than do that. I'm glad it's not a literal meeting, you know, like as far as plucking your eyes out, because in the actual, you know, if you look back in Matthew when he's referring to the same stuff, you know, he was talking about, you know, for men, you know, committing adultery is looking at another woman and lusting. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been to Jack's Beach a few times in my life, and I don't see a bunch of, like, guys with patches on their eyes, you know? And I thank God for his grace in that. But what God was saying there is that it's not literally cutting off the member of your body, but cutting off the thing that leads you to the temptation, you know? So if that is a temptation for you, maybe you should, you know, not go to the beach for a little bit, you know, or, you know, whatever it is that is causing you to sin, you know. It's better for you to do that than to have the pleasures of this earth of, you know, going and sitting in the sun at the beach or, you know, going, whatever it is that's that thing that you're, you know, doing, that you just cut that off and you seek God's forgiveness. Now, One of the church fathers put it this way. He said, do not permit these eyes of ours, which God intended to be viewers and witnesses of his work, to become procurers of evil desires. And I thought that was such a great thing. So what we're supposed to do is keep our eyes above. We're supposed to keep our eyes on the things of God, you know. And we're supposed to do this. And as we continue to seek God and submit ourselves to him, like James said, he will put our feet where they're supposed to go. He will direct our paths, you know. He will guide our steps. And we'll do the things that are even greater than we could have thought or imagined, as long as we have him in our vision and not the things of this world. And one of the things that I was really, you know, thinking about and, you know, praying about is that I've been talking to my parents about, you know, different things that are going on, and my mom was reading a book called Fearless, and she was telling me, you know, about a study or something that might be going on, and it really stuck out to me that if you have your eyes set on God, if you have your eyes set on the bubble, so to speak, that God is really calling you to follow, then you should be fearless. If you're sure of your salvation, you should be fearless. You know, if you're moving in the direction that you know that God has called you to move, it doesn't matter the steps that you might have to take that might be painful. You know, cutting off your hand is painful, you know. Getting rid of these temptations and doing these things, it could be a painful process. However, if we're doing the things God has called us to do, then we are supposed to be fearless. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Acts 17, verse 6. And it's when the disciples come into a town, and you know the leaders are all in an uproar, and they go into the temple, and they say, "The ones that have turned the world upside down has come here." That's my prayer for myself. That's my prayer for every Christian, is that when they walk into a place, that they are so fearless, that they are chasing so hard after the things of God, that when they walk into a place, people are like, "Whoa, this is intense," you know, like they change the things around them. And that's my call and prayer for this church, is that as you guys continue to move forward in your lives and as a corporate body, that you would remain fearless, that you would chase after the things that God has set before you, and just move forward and not worry about the things of this world, because they will pass away, as the Bible says. And that you just continue to press on and keep your eyes focused on the love of Christ. And thankfully, just in a few minutes, as a priest, Father David's going to stand up here as a representative of God. And I'm sure that, you know, some of you may have sinned this morning, and maybe even while sitting here. Because I just want to point out, you know, in James, it was talking about judging people. And I know I'm standing here. No, I'm just joking. But God has given us these representatives here on earth, those that have been ordained into the priesthood, to be a physical representation of his grace and his mercy. And we're going to confess our sins before God and our neighbor, and Father David's going to give us an absolution. And that's going to be a clean slate with God. You know, and I'm thankful for that, because, you know, I don't really want to cut my foot off. You know, and I know that with that grace, that God will provide me to move in directions that he wants me to move. And then he's going to give us the strength through his body and blood, you know, in the Eucharist. And these are the things that God gives us, so that when we do fear, when we do have those, you know, little bits of like fear and temptation, that we can focus in on him and draw back to the grace that he has provided us, and the sacraments, and of his church, and of his body, and in one another, you know. And so I just ask that as you go from the place today, and as you go throughout the week, just really focus in. What is God saying for me? What is the thing that God's calling me to do? What is the bubble that I should be chasing? And what's the bubble maybe I shouldn't be chasing, you know? And I just pray that God will give you the strength and courage and to do those things that he's called you to do. Amen? In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I think I did okay on time, too. Right? Is that right?
Embarrassingly short.